Let us open our Bibles this evening to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13, and reading verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Tonight we are, with the Holy Spirit's help, looking at one of the many parables that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the multitude on this particular day. You notice in verses 34 and 35, we are told that he spoke to them in parables to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. The parable that we are looking at tonight of the pearl of great price, the precious pearl. There are at least three different ways this parable has been interpreted. And I'm going to give us all three ways, but we will concentrate on the last way, which I believe is the right way. First, some understand the merchant man in this parable to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. He seeks, he finds, he buys his elect at the great price of his own precious blood. Now, all those things are true, and no doubt we may be blessed in thinking, meditating upon each of those particulars. He seeks. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He seeks and he finds and he buys. He purchased his church with his own blood. Considering the parable in that way, we no doubt receive many blessings, but there are some disadvantages in considering the parable in that way. And one of the disadvantages is that it makes it to appear that the elect have some intrinsic value in themselves, that he seeks and finds a goodly pearl, a great pearl, as though the elect in themselves, that we, those of us who know him, that we have some value in ourselves. The Lord's jewels and God's children are referred to as his jewels, and we know that jewels are valuable. But God's jewels, God's people, we are valuable by his grace and only by his grace. A second interpretation is some understand the pearl of great price to represent the gospel message, the message of the gospel. There are those, we are told, who are seeking after knowledge. Men in this world are seeking after knowledge, goodly pearls, the wisdom of this world. And then in their search, they find the gospel. They find the gospel and they choose it above everything else. And no doubt the gospel is the wisdom of God, the greatest wisdom of God, the greatest knowledge that anyone can obtain concerns the gospel of Jesus Christ. For by the wisdom of the world knew not God. And yet it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. A third way, and this is the way we will look at it, this is the way I understand it, the pearl of grace price represents the Lord Jesus Christ. It represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the way we will think this evening, meditate, consider this parable. Now I looked to find what is the most expensive pearl. What is the greatest price, the most expensive pearl that has ever been sold? And I found that strands of pearls, which is more than one pearl, of course, have sold for millions of dollars. One particular necklace sold for almost $30 million. It had several strands of pearls. But the price for one single pearl, the greatest price that I found, was just under $40,000 for one pearl. That being said, there's no way that any monetary amount could ever be placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the value of Christ. Because after all, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the only way that's not going to happen is through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. The only way a man is not going to lose his own soul. So if he had all the world, it still would not be worth God's unspeakable gift if we were to try to put a monetary value upon Christ. But here tonight I have two divisions to the message. First, to those who believe in him, he is precious. He is the pearl of great price. We saw that, didn't we, in 1 Peter chapter 2. To you who believe, he is precious. And I was amazed that you chose and led that hymn just a few minutes ago. He is so precious to me. And as we were singing that, I thought, I know he's precious. I know he is. I know that from the Word of God. But is he really precious to me? Is he really precious to me? I want to give us four reasons tonight why he is precious, the pearl of great price. First of all, he is precious. He is the pearl of great price because he is the believer's life. To the believers in the church at Colossae, the Apostle Paul wrote, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Why is he precious to believers? Because he is our life. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, he told his disciples, because I live, you shall live also. Verse 19 of chapter 14, he said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. There is no spiritual life, there is no eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. He is precious. He's the pearl of great price because he is the believer's life. I want you to look in 1 John chapter 5 with me just a moment. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 7, we're told, for there are three that bear record in heaven. Now, this is God's record. This is God's record. There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And what is their record? Well, look down to verse 11. This is the record. Now, this is God's record. This is the record of the thrice holy God. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not found anywhere else. This life, this eternal life, this spiritual life, this knowing God is in Christ. This life is in his Son, and notice, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What does it mean, eternal life? It means to know God. It means to enjoy Him forever. Remember in His high priestly prayer, recorded in John chapter 17, He said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." There's only one way to know God, and that is through Christ. He is precious. He is the believer's life. Second, He is precious, the pearl of great price, for He is the believer's clothing. Clothing. How could I explain this to us tonight? I thought about the fact in our Lord's parable concerning the prodigal son. When he came home, the father had a number of things to give to his son. But the very first thing was the robe. "Bring forth the best robe and put it upon my son." The best robe is Christ. The best robe of every believer in Jesus Christ is Christ. It is His righteousness. In one of the parables of our Lord, He told about a king who made a marriage supper. And we've got to understand, when He made a marriage supper, He prepared everything. You were not to bring anything. Those He invited to the marriage supper of His son. He was going to honor His son. Everything was prepared. All things are ready. And so one of the things that was prepared was a marriage garment. That's foreign to us. We're not accustomed to anything like this, but you must understand this, that the marriage garment was there prepared for all of the guests. And yet one man dared to come in and not put on the marriage garment. I assume he thought his clothing was fine. He may have spent a great deal of money for that suit of clothes he had on and thought he was dressed to the nines. He did not have on the garment that the Lord had prepared. He was naked as far as the king was concerned. He had affronted the king by coming in and not having the clothing that he had prepared. And we know the clothing for every believer is the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ is our clothing. Listen to these words of the hymn by Robert McShaney. One stanza goes like this: "When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see Thee as Thou art, love Thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe." Christ is our clothing. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The scripture in Revelation speaks of those who have on white linen, and it is the righteousness of the saints. It is Christ's righteousness, His righteousness. Number three, He is precious, the pearl of great price, for He is the believer's food. First of all, the believer's life, the believer's clothing, and yes, He is our food. He said this in John chapter 6 and verse 56, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." We know that there is an initial eating His flesh and drinking His blood. That is, there is a time when we believe, those of us who are saved by the grace of God, we trust in Him, we look to Him, we eat His flesh, we drink His blood. And when we do so, our sins, as far as our conscience is concerned, our sins are taken away. But we don't just eat that one time. That's a great mistake. I believe sometimes we as believers make this mistake. It's not just that initial eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It is day by day. I ate physical food yesterday, but I ate again today, and God willing, I'll eat tomorrow. And our bodies are made to need food, need nourishment. And spiritually, we are made to need spiritual nourishment, and we are to feast. We are to eat his flesh and drink his blood every day. And that's what it means to abide in Christ. To abide in Christ is to continually, not just in the past, but today, tomorrow, every day, look to Christ and trust in Christ for all our salvation. The Apostle Paul again wrote, Christ in you, the hope of eternity. When you eat bread, you ingest it, and it becomes a part of you. It's no longer now bread and you. You're now one. You're now one when you eat bread. And when we trust in Christ, we are one with him. We're in union with him. And number four, he is precious, the pearl of great price, for he is the believer's hiding place. I want you to look back to Isaiah 32 with me. He is precious, the pearl of great price, because he is the believer's hiding place. Every believer needs a hiding place. Every believer needs a safe place, hiding place. In Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 and 2, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, at the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. This is a prophecy, of course, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, a man. The God-man. And he is spoken of here as a hiding place, a covert, water, rivers of water, and the shadow of a great rock. A believer, a child of God in this world will experience what is represented here by the wind, by the wind, by a dry place, by weary land. The tempest, the wind, the tempest, the dry place, and a weary land. In our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, you remember the two men who built their houses, one upon the sand, one upon the rock. The winds came. The tribulation, the afflictions, the trials, the difficulties, they're going to come. You're not going to escape them. And also the fact that we're in a tempest and in a dry place, a weary land. Many times it is a weary land to the child of God. What do these things represent? Well, they represent trials and afflictions, misunderstandings, loneliness, seemingly forsaken of God. You say, does a believer sometimes experience that? Yes, he does. Yes, she does. So, never forsaken. Understand that. He said, lo, I'm with you always. He will never forsake one of his children. But sometimes, seemingly, he forsakes us. Yes, we experience all of these things, many of these things, as we go through this world. A number of these things. The psalmist David, do you know what he called these things? He called them calamities. Psalm 57, verse 1. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge," hiding place, refuge, "until," now listen, "until these calamities be overpassed." Every believer needs a hiding place, needs somewhere to run, a refuge in times of storm. And he is precious. He is the pearl of great price, because he is the believer's hiding place where we hide until these calamities be overpassed. So that's the pearl of great price. He's precious because he is our life. He's the believer's life. There's no life apart from Christ. He's the believer's clothing. One day we're going to stand before God, all of us, and to appear there in rags, how awful that would be. Oh, but to appear there dressed in Christ, he is our clothing, his righteousness, and he's our food. Every day we feast upon him, and he is our hiding place. He is a covert. He is rivers of water in a dry land. Now, the second part of my message to those who believe in him, those who part with all for the pearl of great price. Look here back in our text tonight. This is what he said. The kingdom of heaven. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Knowing tonight, as I know you know and I know, that Christ is God's gift and that eternal life is the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Then, preacher, how do you deal with that? How do you explain that about buying the pearl of great price? Well, before we consider that, let's consider this part here that he parts with all for the pearl of great price. He parts with all for the pearl of great price. Look with me up just a few chapters to chapter 16 in verse 34. Uh-oh, I see I've got the wrong verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Any man who will come after me. He parts with all. Deny himself. Part with all. What does that mean? It means, of course, to repent and deny sinful self. Deny ungodliness and worldly lust. He shall save his people from their sins. We part with all. Repent and deny righteous self. And really, it seems to be more of an issue with people to deny righteous self than it is to deny wicked self. Most people know to come to Christ that they must turn from their sin. If they would have Christ, they must look to him and him alone, turning away from ungodliness and worldly lust. God's people are a holy people. The gospel is a holy-making gospel. We know that. But the difficulty for many people is denying righteous self. That's like that Pharisee, "Lord, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess," and on and on and on. All of those things were good things. Wasn't anything wrong with any of those things. The problem was he trusted in those things. That was his righteousness. That was his hope of salvation. No, we must deny righteous self. Confess that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We have nothing with which to commend ourselves unto God. We must be saved by pure, sovereign grace alone, or we're not going to be saved. Our Lord told that parable to that Pharisee about the two debtors, you remember. And he said, when they both had nothing to pay, neither one. One owed 50 pence, the other owed 500. Didn't matter. Neither one of them had anything to pay with. Some people are maybe considered greater sinners than others. But it matters not. If a person is guilty of one sin, he must deny righteous self. He cannot come to Christ and trust in any works of righteousness of his own. Part with all. That's what our Lord said here. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This man, in the parable, he was looking for goodly pearls and he came across a pearl of great price. And he saw the value, he recognized the value, and in coming to Christ and God dealing with us, surely we recognize that Christ is worth everything. He's worth more than everything. That we must have Christ. We must have him. And so we part from everything. Part with all. Must have him. If we would be his disciple. Those are his words. So that's the first thing. We part with all. We deny sinful self. We deny righteous self. We have no confidence in our good works or anything else to justify ourselves in his presence. What about the matter of buying? He bought the pearl of great price. Well, listen, you know this is so, but listen to how the Lord God Almighty sells to sinners. How does he sell to sinners? Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Anyone here thirsty? You say, well, I'm not thirsty. Well, I'm not talking to you. If anyone's thirsty, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. I remember Brother Rolf Barnard quoting this passage one time, and he was talking about that man going across the desert, and he just making all kinds of noise as he was going, you know. I mean, water cans banging up against the wagon and against the horses, and water cans making all kinds of noises, and he's going across the desert, and he cries out, ho, any man thirst. And someone cries back, I'm not thirsty. I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you. But if there's anyone thirsty, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, doesn't have 2 cents in his pocket, come ye, buy. How you gonna buy? You don't have any money. He said, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How does a person buy without money and without price? He simply comes to Christ. Buy this pearl of great price without money and without price. Look to him and receive freely the gift of eternal life. Our Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. And he told that woman of Samaria, she had her pitcher, didn't she? And she knew the well was deep. And yet he told her that he would give her water, living water. And then he said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaketh unto thee, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you ever ask the Lord, if you ever ask him, his word is, ask and you shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you shall find. I pray the Lord would bless this message to all of us here tonight, and truly, truly, that Christ might be precious to us.